And I think it just shows she can do it at both ends now. I just like the way she went through the line, really. I think going to 1,200, I think that'll be a problem. That's for me, tick from another box. If you watch her after line, he was having trouble trying to slow her down. Probably 6 furlongs, we'd come out next start, just ride her a little bit quieter, just have her where she's comfortable.
What is the next start, the Riesling?
Yeah, I'd like to go to the Riesling with her and just to, you know, obviously have a really rock hard fit for the Gold Super, and then she'll go for a nice spell.
Gary, as the form students, you know, say, with, you know, to have a golden slipper horse, you have to run better time than the older horses on the day. Is it a little concerning that she runs slower time than the Highway Handicap?
Yeah, that was concerning, but that's not sort of, I think if we'd have been out in front and ran the speed early, then I'd have been more disappointed. But the fact that she was back running last when the horses down the front were probably going at an even tempo, sort of, it probably made the speed not as quick as what I was, you know, you'd usually see in a high quality 2 year old. So, yeah, I'm sort of, I was disappointed I didn't run faster time, but I think that, her sectionals, probably between the 600 and the furlong. She was breaking 11 furlong at that point, so, you know, and then she was still able to be strong through the line. So I think you'll find that she'll, once you get to 6 furlongs now, and you'll see her really start to step up. And on a dry track, you'll see her going quicker.
Guys, what do you do with her sort of between now and the next start and going into the slipper just to try and curb that? Those barrier manners that we saw yesterday, because obviously it's a lot tougher in a golden slipper field if you get spat out the back early doors.
Yeah, look, mate, I'm hoping I'm right. She's a very relaxed horse, and I noticed on the prelim going to the gate, he really took his time going around, trot her a long way, canter her off. She's such a relaxed horse. You do that, she'll go to sleep, and she'll only do what she's told to do or made to do. She's not a mad, you know, hard-going two-year-old spreader. She got around there pretty relaxed. She walked around behind the gate. She walked around the gate. The gate's open. She's still asleep. I think he's just got to have her better prepared next time. And because, I mean, you see her at trial. You saw her at the first start with Jan Rader. Mate, she hit the ground. She was 3 legs in front before anyone worked out what was going on. So she's going to prepare her better. Ben's a very laid-back guy himself. And I reckon they're probably getting the gates together. He thinks she's standing there quiet. She'll be right. She'll jump. And mate, the gates open and she's probably off in her own little world, you know. And I think next time he just gets in there and maybe we'll get a bloke up with a tailor and just make sure that she's ready. She'll come out better next time.
Have you heard from Michael Koster in the last 24 hours?
No. I do feel for him. No, I've got to say that, he's a good job of educating her, and I feel for him. I'd imagine that if it had been reversed, I'd have probably been in the fetal position this morning.
I spoke to Scott Darby yesterday. I said, tell me about these owners. There seems to be a million of them. Are they newcomers? Have they been with you for a while? And I think the majority of these people are racing a horse for the very first time, which can be a bit scary because the only way is down now.
Exactly right, mate. It was some mayhem in that birdcage when they hit the line. I looked down while I was watching from up at the owner's area upstairs, and I thought, I've got to get down that mosh pit in a minute. It's going to be crazy.
Well, I think you've trained for battlers all your life, but to look at these people, they haven't had to put in a lot of money, 20,000 all up, and it looks like there's 100 of them. They're just having the time of their lives.
Yeah, it's great for racing, mate. What that does is it gives them a taste. They'll buy more shares, they'll bring people into racing. It's a great story, and that's what racing is all about. You need the infrastructure, you need people at the bottom end of the sales to buy these sort of horses. There's so many good stories about these cheaper horses these days. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to get a good horse, and you've just got to buy athletes. And that's one thing about the Derby boys. They buy a lot of really good types, and they don't pay a lot of money for them.
You have to give it to them, you know. They say lightning doesn't strike twice. Like a Yankee Rose, a $10,000 purchase. And they've backed it up with this. It's an amazing story.
Yeah, it is, mate. And full credit, they put a lot of work into it. They get all the sales, every horse. And they deserve it.
Let's hear from Ben Mellon, the jockey who piloted Seawall Rain to a victory yesterday. Interesting to hear what he says about the start. Nick Ashman caught up with Ben Mellon after the race yesterday.
First of all, tell us what went through your head when the gates crashed back.
Very excited.
How do you feel over the last 100 metres and what are your thoughts going up to 1200?
Look, I don't see it as an issue, but obviously the slipper will be a different grade again, so she hasn't put a foot wrong so far, so I can't see where she's going.
Well done, Ben.
Thank you.
Gary, just remind us, how did Ben Millam begin his association with Sewell Rain?
Well, it all started back in the Manicato. Jason Collett was booked for Rebel Dane, but there was a miscommunication between ourselves and his manager, and he was booked to ride in Canterbury instead. Now, I didn't have a jockey, and I told Jason Collett, the manager, he had to organise a jockey for me from Melbourne, like Sunday before the Manicato, it was on a Friday night, and he organised Ben Millam for me, which was great, thanks. And I'd never seen Ben Millam before, never had him on a horse before. He went out to ride Rebel Dane, got a phone call from Mitchell Bell's manager, he can't ride until he's got Charles, so he got on her, he hasn't been off her since, so mate's now sliding doors, you know, in this racing game, had he just rode Rebel Dane, then Mitchell Bell might have been off. That was a high pressure ride, he was cool, calm and collected, and the other jockey would have felt the urge to give her a real dig in the ribs after what happened at the start there, which is a card, but it's hard not to do when you're on a horse that expected to control a race up front. He rides in Melbourne, but he's one of those jockeys that every time he's come to Sydney, he's ridden well at Bullseye.
He was a marked man yesterday, wasn't he? $1.35, and you're going out there for spots in the Golden Slipper and whatnot, and he's just kept his cool the whole time.
Very impressive. It's amazing how things work too, you know. Like, I reckon watching that too, they went a lot quicker in that first couple hundred early. And I think they were out looking at just off enough stuff, I believe. And, you know, these Harvey boys are pretty close to God. I think they had a bit of a line going last night. The horse missed the start. They strung out. They were going that first turn pretty quick. And as it turned out, it all worked out well, you know. He's very cool, if anything, he might be overcool sometimes. If he rides, he's right. And the Villiers, he rode the Villiers when he only moved on that horse last night straight. He was furlong behind him. He's a real good rider, and he's a good bloke with it.
Gary, give us an update on your other horses going towards the bigger races, and your other two-year-olds that might be hopefully heading towards the slipper.
Yeah, look, at this point, I've got Single Bullet. He's my next horse to try and get qualified. Throw him in the nominations for the Skyline this week, and I've got the option of either the Skyline or the following Sunday, I'll might get out of Canberra for the Black Oval. I'll look at the nominations tomorrow for Skyline and make up my mind there. And he's a real good colt too, I think he's a little smoky, and that's all I've got two-year-old wise now. And I've got Rebel Dane back in, and he's heading towards the TJ on the 1st of April. So nice to have a nice team of horses where you're aiming at these good races too, because it's pretty easy not to be.
Yeah, you've got a great string at the moment. You're having a lot of success. Keep up the good work, and we'll see her her. She will rein in a couple of weeks in the Riesling. Thanks for joining us, Gary.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
Gary Portelli, the trainer of She Will Rein. Let's have a look at the Golden Slipper market. We'll have a look at the Blue Diamond market as well, boys. The Golden Slipper, well, she's short now. She's getting right into $3. I think they reacted and made a $5 and then back into $3 shortly after. So it's the girl. She Will Rein in front of Hootson.
Yeah, look, personally, I think it's poison odds until after the Riesling. That's where she's going to tell me if she's the real thing. I wanted to see more time from her yesterday. I know it's hard to do once you miss the start. The story of the race is Khan, who's been slipper favourite all the way through. He did absolutely zero. They're chasing their tail with him. I know they're master trainers, so Team Snowden, but that was too bad to be true, wasn't it?
It wasn't like Capitalist last year got beaten.
No, completely different. He just didn't pass a runner. Very common for Veronillo. I think he's a horse that needs blinkers and 1,200 metres, so there's probably a little bit upside to him if we want to trust that form out of that race.
Well, he goes, Veronillo does go to the Tottenham with the blinkers on. And the third place horse, which was Showtime for the Hawks team, Tommy Berry said the horse felt a lot better, settled a lot better, reckons the size Produce might be right up his alley.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the Blue Diamond market. The Snowdens do have Pariah in those Khan colours, the Capitalist colours. And we've got Craig Williams committing to Catchy. It's Catchy's Formality, Jukebox, Pariah. Property will go there, won't it? Won't it, Ron?
They'll pay the late nom and Magic Man Marira will take the ride.
What are you thinking, Blue Diamond Stakes? We're only six days away.
Personally, I think it's either Catchy or Pariah. I think Pariah is the improver. I thought he did a good job the other day and has a little bit of sense of time. They look a good even bunch in Victoria. There's no doubt about it. Maybe that's going to shake the slipper market after we see the Blue Diamond.
I would think so. They look pretty even down there, but we haven't seen them out to 1,200 yet. So I would have thought the likes of Catchy would be a real improver out in 1,200 and probably Pariah. And the other horse I was going to say Forgotten, but I noticed she's $9 is Tulip. I thought she was very good just off a short let up behind Limestone the other day, and I thought she'd be a big improver up in 1,200.
It's an intriguing Blue Diamond. It's game on.
And with David Hayes, he's setting that to a winner from Friday night at Moonee Valley, Nick, towards the Golden Slipper.
Yeah, he is. I think the name is Marakba. Don't quote me on that, but... Murakeb, that might be it. Won the opening event at Moonee Valley on Friday night. We'll come up here for the Topman Stakes. So that should help maybe give us a little line going forward to the slipper anyway.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. The Lightning Stakes still to come later in the show. We'll continue with Sydney and we'll come back and have a look at the Hobartville and also the Millie Fox. That's next on Thoroughbred Weekly. We're live from Dubbo for the Country Championship. Later today. Stay with us.
By champion sprinter Piero, Dynamics Indications with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott offer this superb Magic Millions filly. From Faith Hill, a Group 2 winner and dam of multiple stakes winning two-year-old Black Minx, her second dam Simply Believe, also a Group 3 winner.
The Piero Faith Hill filly is a really glorious type. She's lovely and she moves so freely. Adrian and I are delighted to be training her for Dynamic.
For info, visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999.
And all through to the interview.
So you guys just keep talking as much as you want about each race, and then when you're finished, I'll throw to the interview for the trainer job.
For the exact same room.
Just when we pause, you go.
Yep.
We provide payment options to allow you to use your cash elsewhere.
It allows our customers to get what they need and not have to worry about it then and there.
On now at Harvey Norman, a massive 50 months interest-free store-wide.
That's no deposit and no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until April 2021. Take this opportunity to refresh and renew your home and lifestyle with the very latest in new furniture, bedding, home appliances, technology and entertainment. Now's the time to buy. Big brands, huge range, amazing deals store-wide with 50 months interest-free. Limited time only at Harvey Norman.
Welcome back, Thoroughbred Weekly, and we're going to look at the Hobartville Stakes now. Man from Uncle won the Eskimo Prince and now backs up to win another feature race. And this horse is getting admirers, boys. Three-year-old going places.
He is. He's two from two now. This is an on-pace race. 1, 2, 3 the whole way and fought this finish out. A nice ride. He just stalked them collared. He stalked the leader there in Echo Effect. He did a good job after getting control and It took him a while to get the job done, but that's exactly what happened with him at Ramwick first up. He just kept chipping away and just showed a little bit of desire late. So every indication is that he could stretch it out to the Ramwick Guineas at a mile. Coming through. I liked him as... In the fact that first up he was very sluggish and didn't want to take part. At least he showed a lot more desire than yesterday and travelled a lot better. I think he's on target for the Ramwick Guineas, but he's got that boom on him and expectation. I think most thought he was going to go past them yesterday. Second up from a spell. There's probably a little bit more to come. But not as dominant as we thought. He was just going to come out and dominate these three-year-olds early in the preparation.
And when he sat very close to the speed, I think we'll stand next to each other, this could be his day. Duff, do you think the penny's dropped with him completely yet, coming through? Is he maybe still working out his craft?
Well, he's a stallion and, he's a colt. So he can go one way or another, but I like what I see from him as far as progression from one run to the next. So, look, he's right in contention, but is he dominant? On that look, no, but he's a contender. You know what? I love those two Derby horses there. Inference and Prized Icon. Was a slowly run on pace race. They were both wide on the track, and I don't think I saw too much do anything out wide on this track yesterday. And I thought they both got a very, very big tick as far as their staying three-year-old preparations the Derbies and the Rose Hill Guineas and things like that, or wherever they're headed. I think they were both terrific.
Well, Tommy Berry on Inference said he thought he was going to run top three. Condition just gave out. He asked 100 or 200 metres. Glenn Schofield more or less said the same thing about Prized Icon. He kept on making a point. He made it up after the exhibition gallop last Saturday between races, and he just said the horse is just travelling so much better when he's galloping. He just feels as though he could be in for his best prep yet. One other question I was going to ask is this track yesterday was quite leaderish towards the back end of the day. Are we maybe giving too much credit to these on-pace horses? Should we maybe be discounting some of the poor performance from back in the field?
Good question. Only time's going to tell, but I'd be forgiving more so for horses out wide trying to make ground. I thought they loomed, but not many of them run through the line. I think the only horses that made ground were the horses that cut the corner three or four off the rail. And that's something we should take note of when we're sort of doing our replays and looking at it as far as future form references concerned.
Paul King said Echo Effect had a different bridle on yesterday and helped the horse.
Yeah, he had one of those Norton bits, a bit more severe. He still wants to go hard and get that head out and fight the rider. So he's work in progress, that horse. It's going to be tough to get into a mile, considering where he is in the mind.
And also, he had that little fitness edge over a couple of his rivals yesterday. Probably next start, they measure up to him on the score of fitness.
Possibly, but it all depends if it maps like that again. He might get an advantage. On pace horses win so much percentage of the races.
Anthony and Edward announced that they have applied for a racing partnership, so that won't be too long in coming through, and yesterday I caught up with Edward after Man from Uncle's win.
Well, that's very nice. Back-to-back feature, three-year-old race for this horse. Eskimo Prince and Hobartville. Oh, look, I mean, I suppose there's probably not too many horses that have done the double, and the target for him or perhaps definitely been the Ramwick Guineas, so it's very nice to collect these two on the way.
Like the way he wanted to grit his teeth there and fight it out. He wanted to win.
Yeah, great will to win. Look, just a great credit to the stable. Phoebe and the rest of the guys, Shane Moses, rides him a lot of work. you know, it's a really great team that we've got at the moment, of horses and definitely staff. So.
What's the boss say?
It'd be better if Shane Moses turned up on Saturday. No hard feelings. He's done a great job. So just really nice to get a great result for the stable.
Good luck with the partnership. I mean, nothing will change. Your name will be in the book there alongside that.
Thank you very much.
Well, we were surprised first up with a victory, man from Uncle, but today's proven today it was absolutely no fluke.
Yeah, dead right, Nick. He backed it up there. Yeah, good win today. Tough win. And strong late.
Always confident you're going to get there?
Felt sounding overconfident. Yeah, I sort of was.
What about Anthony mentioned pre-racing, possibly going out to a Rosehill Guineas, then reassessing whether it's a Doncaster or a Derby option for Man from Uncle? What are your thoughts heading out to the 2000?
Well, we'll see how he goes over the mile and go from there. And sort of work it out. Whether you, as you said, Chris is on or just stays at that trip.
Nice ride to have for the carnival, though.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, we had a big gap between the Hobartville and the Millie Fox. We had thunderstorms approaching. We didn't get a lot of rain out of it. Rosehill copped less rain than a lot of parts of Sydney, but there was a lot of lightning activity, so the stewards couldn't send them out. All races went back, which didn't affect anyone except those who had to drive to Dubbo. Let's go to the replay. Millie Fox now, boys, in her time, Duff. You're a big fan, but you can't seem to catch her.
Well, I've backed her every start bar her last two. I'm a huge fan of hers, and I got put off with the bar plates, and I'm on the wrong leg with her. I had a doubt it was just a dry track. Maybe this track wasn't as wet as we thought yesterday. A few of the horses that didn't handle the ground did, but she's just in rare form at the moment. He's done a great job with the Vengeance Smith. He's had confidence in her all the way through. Love her racing style. Love the way she digs in and has a go. She's one of these fillies that you can make a couple of mares, you can make a couple of runs on. You can make a run. To get to the front on her, and then she goes fast enough and relaxes amongst herself to give a kick at the finish. This is so dominant. Whether she wants to stretch her out and mix with her speed and get her ready for a Coolmore Classic, I'm not so sure. Loved Euro Angel there. I thought it's the horse to follow out of the day. She's put on weight. She's matured. She looked well. She'll improve out of sight on that run. I think she may be the one that I might be singling out. On Coolmore Classic Day, although Dixie Boston might be in there. but she's going to be a real force in the Coolmore Classic, you believe me.
The money was there for her yesterday too, wasn't it?
Daisy Doom had a chance. She was first up to improve. Of the others, what do you want to say? Den Magic needs to win badly. It's been a while between drinks now for her, and she seemed to have her chance.
There was a few out wide as well. Maybe we can be a little forgiving of these things.
Yeah, possibly. Just a little bit. That was a funny race where she went hard and then she got that mid-race rest, and she's proven in the past. Give her a mid-race rest, then she's off the game. She can make 600-metre runs this mare. She's a beauty. And Benjamin's done a really, really good job with her. The story of the race is probably Private Secretary, who just wasn't stretching out at all there. They couldn't find anything wrong with her, and I'm delighted.
Their excuse was they didn't handle the goings. I'm not so sure about that. I don't think it was that. And she's run okay before, I'm sure. They haven't run bad times. It wasn't a slow time. 34-34 home.
That's not slow track times.
Right, well, let's hear from winning trainer Ben Smith and the jockey Josh Parr.
The way the race planned out, Josh was able to give us the front, and we just told him to ride the race and let him slip around the turn and see if they were strong enough to catch up.
She's very good, you know that.
Yeah, she's very good, and she keeps improving. So I think she'll get even better than this as well.
Had the bar plates on last time. They come off today.
Yeah, straight after last start we took them off. There wasn't much of a concern there. More precautionary. But she's been perfect. Ever since that last run, and she continues to hold her weight well and just loves racing.
Well, you've got to come back and have a crack at the Coolmore.
We'll discuss that in the coming days. We'll see how we go.
Wouldn't that be a serious plan, though? Surely it's been in the back of your mind.
Not so much. I think he's a better sprinter, but the way he raced today might cause us to reassess. But we'll get it home, we'll make sure she's okay, and we'll go from there.
So there's other options there that you can look at in the calendar. You don't necessarily have to get out of the mile.
No, plenty of options there.
Give her a little let up, which we'll probably do, and we'll just wait and see. Nick, you spoke to Josh, and he has concerns about her getting any further than a sprint trip.
Yeah, he said the 1500 metres of the Coolmore Greg was definitely a risk. He was wrapped in her, thought her performance yesterday was full of merit, but he did raise a little concern on her getting out towards the mile.
We'll take a break, unless you've got any more news on that.
No, that'll do, Greg. That's fine. Look, the Euro Angel and so forth heading towards the Coolmore, as you'd expect. And Circular might just try and target a sort of a listed Group 2 race along the way. The Godolphin Camp are pretty confident there's a decent race in her this autumn.
Okay, a break and then back with more here on Thoroughbred Weekly.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
That's all right, but they're the main races.
Entries for gamblehouse.com's fortnightly bloodstock auction
first,
are open now.
First, the second.
Save bucket loads with bargain
what happened to the Parramatta Cup?
5% commission
no, it's coming later.
Gamblehouse.com entries close at 7 p.m. this Monday. Visit gamblehouse.com and register your entry now.
We can make up some ground here.
Yeah. No, we're going all right.
Okay.
Some believe the finest of things can be found in the most surprising of places. And contemporary luxury should improve upon tradition, not be anchored to it.
Pat, these will be pretty quick throws for the replays.
This is Genesis, official vehicle partner of Golf Australia.
Have you ever looked for a hotel online?
We come back with some Neil Diamond.
Did you notice that there are so many different kinds of hotels with the exact same room? Which are rather
all right, Duff, how much does this packet of peas cost?
From over 200 different websites.
$2.33. Okay, let's see if you're right.
Trivago makes it easy for you to find the ideal hotel for the best price. Trivago shows you all the different prices for the exact same room. And that's how you can be sure that you find your ideal hotel for the best price. Hotel Trivago.
Welcome back. We go back to the first of the day, and only a small field of five runners, and tactical advantage was going for four in a row, Duff, and did it with style.
Oh, did he? Well, he sits outside. You know, any horse that can sprint like he does from outside the lead is a good horse. Look, he's no oil painting to look at, but he's four from four now. He's been beautifully placed. Geez, he's becoming a very good trainer very quickly, James Cummings. Placing his horses. He has them looking perfect. They race consistently. This horse, look at him quickening here. He's run the fastest splits of the day. I know it's early in the day, we had no showers, but racing away. She was gallant in the feet. Scarlet Rain, what we expected. She's just knocked up with that little bit of extra 6 kilos there. Spending the wind just... He was too keen with the blinkers there. And Ebonos Simple, he just wants a fast run.
I think that tactical advantage reminds me of Burning Passion, I think, over the summer months that James had up, and he'd run, stop, trial, run, using a similar method.
The question is, what does he do with him now? You know, it's not going to get any easier. He's hit a peak. I know he runs a neat space, but he has to come up another couple of levels now, considering where he is in the benchmarks. I don't know what he does. Does he look towards Brisbane winter? Possibly. The way he looks into things, I'm sure he'll make the right decisions with him.
Okay, well, I think that answer comes up in this interview, guys. Nassim Dilmi, part of the stable, is there. James, of course, he and Monica, a new addition to the family, young Harvey, has arrived. He was at home changing nappies, couldn't make the first. His foreman, Nassim Dilmi, was on hand.
We just take in step by step, but there's the Derby Men's four weeks time, I think that'll be right, he's doing well for Fresh, and probably have a trial in between, but everything's going well for him, every time we've done it, and he's learned from other trainers to work well, so keep doing it. Well done, Nassim. Nassim Dilney representing the
James Cummings Stable and Glenn Schofield, who's been riding so many of these James Cummings gallopers. Here he is with Nick.
Yeah, Glenn, another solid performance from the horse, he's been up in trip, back in trip, and fourth up today, still too good.
He just keeps surprising and stepping up to the mark. I suppose surprising is not the right word, but he keeps improving, and every time James sort of raises the bar with him, He answers, and probably today was his best win here. He was pretty comfortable to land forward. There wasn't a great deal of speed, and I couldn't really see him. He was trying to break any records with that big weight, so I just camped on his tail, and when he quickened up, I went with him, and just a matter of time when I really let him go and asked him to quicken. I gave him one little reminder with a persuader behind the saddle, just a little bit of a love tap, really, and he responded straight away.
What's the limit for this bloke?
Hard to gauge because he's not any dynamic in the morning, so he's really doing all his talking on the racetrack. His race manners prior to today left a lot to be desired. He did race a little bit erratically, but today he ran true and straight, and it was his best performance, so there's a lot to like about him.
So maybe a trial and then back on Golden Slipper Day for the Derby Munro. Let's go to race number two, and they really backed El Lou here. Duff and El Lou back into the winner's stall.
And a nice, another patient, nice ride from Glenn here on El Lou. Obviously, she really appreciates it. Just that jar out of the track here. She was well ridden, presented at the right time, and was just too good for him. And fast, he was only second up, but he had 60 kilos, and I think the damage was done when he just missed the start a little bit, and he had to be ridden up. That just burnt a little bit of petrol from him. Look, he's no superstar, but maybe next time for him, because he'll come on from this run. Can't say much about the others. Queen of Wands just found coming back in distance. That little bit tough, but she was strong late there. There's a race for her, but they're just hard to place these horses with a carnival upon them.
She might be Queen of Wands, might be an aspiration, a mile at Randwick, that top of the
field. She'll be, one of the fringe bellies in a race like that. She was out wide. I didn't like that place yesterday. So there's merit in that performance. Voliere, they specced him again yesterday. Surely.
He seems to be amazing.
He's been specced everyone. I think he only won his first start in a race.
Yeah, he did. And he ran good time, I think, from memory. He was up there with the better times of the two-year-olds at that part of the season. But since then, he's just proven more costly.
Okay, that was the first leg of a winning double for the Chris Wallace stable. The second leg came straight after it. Duff, you want Nick to take over here, the number one card holder, the Antonio Giuseppe Fan club.
Yeah, he's the love child. I'm sort of joining the party, actually, but you take over. No, he's just such a no-nonsense horse.
He's got a cruising speed, and if he's over 1400 or 1500, he goes the same speed as if he's going over 2024. When he gets up in trip, he leads, and over these shorter trips, he takes a sit. You can just see the determination of him to get to the front. I know there was a little bump underneath him, which helped his chances, helped him to just get upon them quicker. But this is first up 1500 metres. He's had the track wide around the corner. He's come down the centre of the straight, which I don't think, as we said, wasn't really the place to be. He had lengths on them in terms of class. He'll improve his stack, and I just hope they decide to go to the Sydney Cup.
Yeah, look, that's self-interest, what else are we here for? I love the way that he was always in control of this race. He didn't flop out the back, he showed desire to be midfield in a stalking position. When you let this horse down, he lowers his head and savages. You know, he has a go and lengthens. He wanted to straighten up a bit once he gets to the big group ones. He don't want to be hanging in and doing things wrong like that. But always in control of that race. He's a very, very likely horse will be competitive in any race they run him in. There's no doubt in the world. He's a beauty, and he'll improve. I'll improve, obviously, with that. I don't know whether he's sort of a savage or 2 mile in the autumn and trying to get ready for a 2 mile in spring. The horse will tell him, he could be a real Melbourne Cup prospect. But I suppose, in defence of that, the Sydney Cup's worth a lot more money these days.
And you've got to qualify for the Melbourne Cup. So the best one way of doing that is to win a Sydney Cup. I mean, what happens if you have a couple of runs short of that trip and you don't qualify for the Melbourne Cup, then you've got to qualify in the spring.
Anyway, we agree on one thing. He's a very good horse.
Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look at that Sydney Cup market, guys, and see where it all sits there for the big one at the championship. And Tony Giuseppe, about $10, is he?
$8. $8 he's in there.
Yeah. We forget about Libra. What a good horse he is if he comes right. And what about the Europeans coming in?
Charlie Appleby's got a couple of runners across. Probably most notably Henglyde Pavilion, who is, I think, a 3,200 metre winner back home over in the UK. He's a good horse. Obviously, they want to win the Sydney Cup. Maybe there's an intention to come back to the Melbourne Cup. He's bringing three horses out. Is it Globalisation? The other name's just escaped me. And he's also having a shot at the Mornington Cup trying to qualify for the Sydney Cup. For us, I wonder if the team William is thinking about bringing the horse to the provincial Sydney Cup. So we'll get Bensley onto that.
Everyone's asking, where's Duffercy? Out here at Dubbo, the crowd's starting to build. Any answer for them, Ronnie?
Haven't been back there since I slaughtered about three favourites there.
We are here for the championships, which is coming up later today. Peter Nestor's going to join us on Thoroughbred Weekly. Nestor, never put Duffercy on, I don't think. We'll ask that question when he gets here. We'll go.
That's the problem.
We'll go into that a little bit deeper when he arrives. We'll take a break and back with more in a moment.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit Sky.
Yeah, I dropped that Charlie Duckworth interview because it contradicts what Nick had to say. Because they said, you know, Sydney Cup, probably BMW, so...
And he scares people with his eyes.
Producing elite racehorses, including the Quarterback, Him and China.
Married at first sight.
Melbourne Premier is a proven formula. The 2017 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale, February 26 to March 1 at Oakland's Melbourne. Catalogue available now at inglis.com.au.
Who's doing Dubbo with you today, Radley?
Richard Haynes and Chantel. We've got a $20,000 there's a big push to get Duffercy to Albury to work with China.
I'll put my hand up.
He's working at the airport.
Every run was an outstanding run. You know, that was pretty much a life-changing experience.
One-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
Welcome back. We continue our look at the Rosehill Gardens card coming up very shortly. A look at the win by Terra Vista in the Lightning, but at the Tab Highway now, Sue Grills will tell us in an interview later. She's had no luck in this race, but finally she cracks it with a win with Fickle Folly.
Yeah, she does, and a deserved win too. I like this filly. She's lightly raced. She was heavily backed at Port Macquarie in what looked a strong race first up. She showed speed there and knocked up. But I think the key to her. She just lacks experience, and she's all speed, go, go at the moment. I think it was a master stroke bringing her back to 1,100 metres, and she simply flew. Absolutely flew here. It was never in doubt this race. And she took by the scruff of the neck and off she went. This second horse, the Kinthos Regrets, was pretty good. Inexperienced horse as well. And they beat the rest quite easily there. Karingle Star got a little bit worked up before the race there. Conniving was a bit disappointing when she got bumped on the turn there. Can't say too much about the others. I must say, 1-2 were quite dominant here, running solid time.
And the form out of that Port Macquarie race, Greg, that we're talking about, where Fickle Folly was beaten and stuff, heavily backed or well backed in the market, starting $4.80. The horse that beat Fickle Folly, of course, was Shotgun Roulette. It goes round in the Tari qualifier on Sunday week. We will catch up with Wayne Wilkes during the week, and there'll be some stuff on Sky a bit later on about how Shotgun Roulette's tracking. I know we're going to track work with her on Tuesday morning at Tari.
Yeah, she's going to be awfully hard to beat in that heat when we do get to Tari. Let's hear from Sue. Here's the remarkable story about her highway experience and also the winning jock Tommy Berry.
I just asked Sue, I said, have you won a highway? And what was the answer?
I've had four and they've all run last.
Every single horse in the highway have gone home with a tie between their legs.
I was nervous coming back, but I think, Mark Philly, and I left it up to Tommy whether we lead or not. That was a super win. You know, she knocked up at Port Macquarie, but no, I really like this filly, and that's a big relief to win.
She's so fast, but I suppose that last 200 metres today was always going to be that worry.
It was, but she seemed to be leading very
Well, how far back to Tam with now? I know you've got to go back and strap. How far's the drive now? It won't be as far as it normally is. The last few highway meetings. Well done. Thank you very much. Good tough performance there, Tom.
Yeah, well, you asked me before the race if I liked anything, but I didn't mention this one. She's a lovely filly. She's only a three-year-old. She's on the way up, and I think the key to winning today was being able to get across so quick, and we got a few cheap sections mid-race, and she was able to kick away because the other day RT said he just got attacked a little bit mid-race, and she got tired late.
It was good tough effort, though, over the concluding stages. You had Kinthos Regrets coming at you, having that 1,200 metre run under your belt help.
Yeah, I think it definitely did. The thing I really liked about filly was when I done her, she really lowered, she dropped the bum and pinned her ears back, and if anything came towards her, she felt like she would try to fight him off.
Of course, she was just out of the places behind Shotgun Roulette and goes round in the Tarring qualifier on Sunday week, so handy form on there too.
100%, and Sue Grill, she's a great trainer, she knows when to bring him down to, so that helps.
Well done, Tommy.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, and the poor girl, Duff Stacey Metcalf, coming to town for a first ride, denied by greedy Tommy Berry.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Look, she did a good job on the second horse. She didn't make too many mistakes, but it would have been a big day for her. Maybe her turn on one of these highways, on that horse, similar sort of race, would be hard to beat.
No doubt. Okay, let's move on now to the Parramatta Cup. Nick, Andrew Atkins missed the ride on In Her Time. He stayed faithful to Ronnie Quinton and Daisy Doom, and he had to because that's his stable, that's his master. But he got one back yesterday.
He did, Greg. It was really good to see. He's a young apprentice on the way through, riding in really good form, as probably a group of apprentices are in Sydney at the moment. We're quite lucky here to have such good young talent coming through. But as you say, of course, he partnered In Her Time at, I think, a past two wins and had to jump off to ride Daisy Doom, only to watch Josh Parr get the cash on In Her Time. So to get this horse over the line was a real good thing for Atkins. Of course, it was only a couple of weeks ago he won his biggest race of his career, the Breeders Classic on In Her Time and Group 2 level.
Great tactics. He knew he was on a tiger. This horse is a dead set, will not lay down ever. I know he was up in distance, but he's a dominator, he's a fighter. Everything fell into place for him yesterday. And when red excitement looms, you would have thought it was all over. He's probably better right on top of the ground, ready to excite in the market, and really took him on with that in mind. Hardly distracted, hardly throwing anything back. A good fighting performance, well placed. Song and Laughter continues to run nice races. The story of the race was allergic. Let a lot of people down. He didn't do much. Maybe the run short, but the market suggested that he would just win. And I'd have to say one of the flops.
The only thing is, even when you're not out wide, it seemed to be particularly later on the day when the day race was run, almost impossible to make up ground anywhere.
Well, until we see the last, we're looking for excuses, and I'd love to find an excuse for him, but I'm struggling to find one.
Okay, classic uniform. Gary Moore wasn't on track yesterday, so no dancing, but here's Andrew Atkins, the winning rider.
Andrew, you must be spending a great month.
Let's talk about the home straight. All of us watching it over there, we thought when red excitement was chiming in on the outside that was it. You're running for second, but your bloke kicked back.
He was. He was chiming in outside, but they both cut the line, and mum was just on the better of them.
Premier 7, Gary today, he's put a tremendous job in all his teams, so big effort to them, well done, well done, Andrew, we'll see you again soon, thank you, and to the last of the day, it ended with a double for the Cummings stable, the Anthony and Edward Cummings stable, hieroglyphics boys wins the last of the day. Ziggy was never going to be able to get the race, she's always been talented, she's always been better with a little bit of cover and bushing, and found that yesterday, she's much stronger, and no flew too strong wins together from her, she's pretty good there yesterday, of the others, well, Prince Famous did all the work and battled on particularly well, I would have thought Ziggy really missed the consistency, first try to 1100, he raced bowling, but look at him, he's still got a hold of the hair, and he's got a back, he was cheeky, he was just such a, he knew he was, you know, how well he was riding, having a pose, he was basically at on them when she was still half on the drive. That's right, that was the key, she travelled into it, when you got a chance, she's got enough speed to just travel into it.
He's not one of mine, Dunbar. Shadow Lord was okay there, late in the piece, paying the piece, he's a horse that trialled well leading into that, he's probably better at 1200 second up, keep an eye out for him, one of these restricted benchmark races.
All right, let's hear from Anthony Cummings and Brett Navdala.
Well done, well done. Good day.
I mean, she's on the right sort of form to make a presence felt neither race. Great ride too, wasn't it? Very good. You know, it's been unusual day here. Horses out wide seemed to have had a problem making ground along the rail, seems to be in the go, Brenton had a plan, I just made the initial, but you do what you want. And the rest is history.
Well done, Anthony.
Yeah, Brenton leading rider, saved the best for last.
Yeah, look,
hindsight,
I've got a chance today. I was chasing.
I'm not feeling about the second best side of Philly. So, false confidence. The races went all day here. We'd be confident that she get the job done.
Anthony Cummings just ducks my collar in kindly for me. Brendan, she's done it. Two from two now this preparation. She's had the dream run. First up at Canterbury, but today she just had to go back and navigate through the field.
Yeah, it was the day went on. Things went sort of making ground and sort of past six off. So I thought I was going to be
Okay, so that's our review of Sydney racing yesterday at Roseville Gardens. Boys, we turn our attention to the Chipping Norton next Saturday, and Winks is back. So we get to see her on a Saturday. 6,000 turned up to see her on a Monday. How many turn up next Saturday?
Plenty, I hope.
What's the line?
I don't know.
One thing about him, he's lucky you're not training. Let's go to the lightning before we roll the replay. There was awful dramas here, boy, before the race. The quarterback got awfully cast. He was scratched. The Ruho was scratched. What was the other one? We had Fartner was out as well. Yeah, so three late scratches behind the gates.
Yeah, that was horrible. Horrible to watch, but luckily everyone's okay. It did cause a bit of a kerfuffle for about five minutes there, but it's not the ideal thing into a big group with three lane scratchings, that's for sure. But it was an interesting race with the OSF stood up. 1-2-3
Let's go to the replay. Terra Vista Dufford, been there to this track and distance, the 1,000 metres at Flemington twice. He was nutted by Chautauqua in the Lightning last year. He was nutted by Red Zell in the Mum Stakes during the Spring Carnival. But finally, Group 1 victory is Terra Vista's.
Yeah, look, Joe, look, full credit to him. He knows his horses like the back of his hand. He's had faith in his horse, and he's deservedly so all the way through. But he hasn't won for about 500 days. I reckon. It was a lovely ride by Corey, who'll give him a lot of confidence coming into an autumn carnival. Should he have won?
Should he have gone the inside? It was easy after the ball. It was a tight run that he was waiting for. He gets the clip across the nose. Surely his day is coming.
He looked all over a winner there, start turn when he dashed. I thought they're just farcical races. Did someone actually ride a 1,000-metre race down the straight? This is like a sprint home 600 metre race. So they're very hard to read. The three-year-old flying Artie, he didn't know whether he was after a master. He hasn't had that sort of tightening in races ever.
So you would have thought with a horse like Heatherly, there was some notable speed runners in the race. You would have thought there would have been a genuine tempo.
I thought someone ever has a go in these races, just lets one run even time in a 1,000-metre race. Look at Illustrious Lad at the start. He wanted to have a little bit of a buck here in the nose roll. He just starts to hump up and want to have a bit of a go. I thought his effort was pretty good. He's an underrated horse. He'll be better back into a handicap. And Flying Artie, just fight, and then Sepedo lays all over him. It was just the ride that won the race, I must say. The ride of Corey, he got all the brakes. I have to feel for Speke, that's twice now that he should have won. And he'll certainly be better when he gets better when he marked the Newmarket as well.
Well, he'll drop sharp money. It sounds like Terra Vista's coming back to Sydney and most likely won't go there.
Oh, it'll all revolve around the handicap. You know, I'm sure he loves Australia. He'd love to go with him. It's just a matter of what weight they're going to give a horse like this. That's now come out and won a Lightning. He's got a good record in his own right. Lightly raced horses like your Speedius and your Illustrious Lads. He's going to get into a Newmarket with much better weight.
What about Bowman? He drives through. He sees Star Turn and Flamberge. And he's obviously thinking, I'm home. And then he looks across and... Terra Vista, he knows so well.
He's been so loyal to him all the way through. Corey's got a good record on him as well. He'd only had one ride on him before for a win. So good luck to him.
All right, well, let's hear from Corey Brown and also Joe Pride.
He won with me at Randwick, second time today. He's just been racing a bit of a hole, he's not been hitting the line. We tried him the other day, tried super. Obviously, he's the best horse on paper, he just had his mind right. Had the perfect run. I ended up nearly last at one point, but Hugh and I for the same runs. I was lucky enough to get a run between them. Once he got daylight, he launched at him. He's really good.
But Joe, first of all, many congratulations on the horse that you love dearly. And he's delivered after going so close in this race in the
He's a thousand metre horse in this field, and if he got there today, I was going to be worried about when he was going to beat these kind of horses. But finished there today, Corey holding up beautifully. Corey's ridden more winners than any other jockey. He's been in Singapore the last 3 years. So we've got a fantastic combination. He knows exactly what he has to do. From an outside barrier, watch that ride. It was a gem.
So take me through your emotions as you were watching that race unfold. Were you ever confident?
Yeah, I was. I just watched him travel. He looked like he was going beautifully. I'm obviously worried he was going to get a run, but it couldn't seem like that sound like clear. Fantastic thrill and a lot of hard work goes into it. A great result.
Well, world's best sprinter. So let's talk a bit about the Everest, guys. We haven't been on air when the Everest broke, and there's been a lot of talk. I'm trying to take it all in, trying to take in all the commentary, plenty for it, plenty against it. Still a lot of unknowns because there's details that have to be mapped out. Racing New South Wales went ahead and released the Everest. They wanted to get the jump on anyone who might have had the idea, and they've brought this $10 million race to Sydney, the world's richest race for sprinters. A horse like Terra Vista, no doubt connections would be hoping he'd be informed come October so he could contest the race, of course he's got to get a spot first. Duff, a lot of people saying it's a rich man's race. You've got to have a lot of money to buy a slot for three years. But it would seem to me that it's the reverse. It's the battlers who are probably going to get a run here. They don't have to buy a slot. They've just got to manoeuvre their way to get a horse into the field. Let the rich put the money out, and the battlers jump in with hopefully a horse of a lifetime to try and jag the $7.2 million first prize.
I think that explains it. I don't know, it might be a rich man's lottery. If you're a battler and you've got a product, you're going to make money out of this. You can't lose. I think, let's just see what we get to find print and how it all evolves and who can become involved. But look, I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it. Like I said, the rich people are the ones that are going to take the risk of losing money because there's got to be a couple of losers. There's no doubt about it.
I think just when that final field gets drawn up, might sort of determine how much exposure it all gets. From a journo's point of view, it's mouthwatering. I mean, imagine the month leading up to the Everest. You're talking about who's going to cut a deal with who for a horse.
There'll be a lot of chewing and throwing and phone calls and trying to pick the right horse at the right time. You can leave your run a little bit late, or you can go off a little bit early. It's up to the individual who owns the slot.
Is it a possibility?
Wouldn't you think at the moment that if you owned a slot, Bryce Hayes's daughter gets Speeth alone, wouldn't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd be knocking down Bryce Hayes's daughter, getting Speeth alone, wouldn't you? Yes. You'd be knocking down Bryce Hayes's daughter, and there's a few others there I contend, as well, these three year olds. Who knows? Well, the other thing is if possible, some of these big punters, if they drew up a final field, say two weeks out, if they were able to do that, Sean Bartholomew or Kingsley, these guys who like to bet in those sort of Calcutta, call it a card type scenario.